All right, coaches, you hear about mindset all the time. I talk about marketing all the time. We have a guest today who's going to show us how to use them both together and why mindset is in fact a major factor in marketing. And while that's what we came to talk about today, we dug into a whole bunch of other stuff as well. My guest, Katie Hogan, is not only a marketing expert and a mindset expert, but she also works for one of the top NLP trainers in the country. And so she knows a lot about neuro-linguistic programming and what it can do to our body and how we can use it to our fullest potential. She's also a mum, a very busy lady, and super duper energetic, fun to talk to. So we dig into how she manages to stay so lively in a very, very busy lifestyle. Really fun conversation. I know I say that every week, but this one went for like an hour rather than half an hour. So you can tell that we enjoyed it. Katie is such a pleasure to talk to. Lit up the virtual room that we're in, and I really hope you enjoyed the show. I certainly did. Here she is, everyone. Katie Hogan on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking marketing, we're talking mindset and how the twain shall meet within the spectrum of business. And my guest today to walk us through that path is Katie Hogan from Katie Creative, amongst a bunch of other things that we'll get into. We've already had a great chat, but we're going to talk about basically her aha moment that led her down the path of noticing that mindset and marketing can be one and the same and work very well together. So Katie, how are you going straight out of the Gold Coast? Let's talk about it.
Hello. Going absolutely fabulous. I'm very excited to be on here. I've started delving into being on more podcasts, so thank you so much for having me.
No, love to have you here. I'd love to start off with one question. What in the world is a positive panda, Katie?
A positive panda. I also call it obsessed with personal development. I'm often referred to, you're so high energy, you're so high vibe, you've got so many, you're so confident. And so tying that all together, it was just a switch from so often people in life are using negative away from language of what they don't want to happen. I don't want this to happen. I don't want it to rain. Even in the simple things, I don't want to be stressed out. And when you learn to flip your language, so you flip the script and you focus on what do you want? Instead of focusing on what you don't want, let's focus on what you do want. And so positive towards what I want to happen. I want it to be sunny. I want this project to work. I want my boss to be happy rather than the negative away from. So that's where the positive panda comes from.
Got it. Yeah, thinking I don't want to be late as much is going to inevitably make you late rather than thinking I want to be early today.
I want to be on time. Yeah. And even with kids, like, so I've got two young kids now and it's like, what action do I want them to do rather than stop doing that? Would you stop? It's kind of like, would you calm down? Would you walk, please? Would you look after your toys rather than always focusing on what I don't want myself or the people around me to do?
100%. Your boys are 2 and 5. I have 2 3-year-old daughters, twins.
Oh, nice.
And so I massively agree on that one. What I try and do, and I would never in a million years suggest people try and parent like I parent, because I hate it when people say the same thing to me. I hate a parenting hack or a mum hack or a dad hack on Instagram. That person is getting scrolled and blocked immediately. But what I try and use that positive language of, one of my daughters is pretty feisty. She's like the fiery one. Then we've got the chill one.
Is your fiery one the second one?
No, she's actually the eldest by
2 minutes. Oh, no, because they're the twins, right. I was going to say, it's always like a second. My second one is fiery as, so I was wondering if it was the same.
Well, she's the eldest by 2 minutes and she knows it.
Right.
She knows. So if anyone snatches a toy from the other one or bossing the other one around, it's going to be the eldest one. And so what I try and do when I'm, you know, in control of myself is like, Ollie, you're a really good sister. You're such a kind big sister. Can you please show me how kind you are?
Yeah.
And usually that'll get the job done when she's in a good mood, which is a bit too far gone. Then you got to, you know, bring out the firmer tones. But God, what a freaking labyrinth to navigate. You obviously, you know, you've mentioned that you have your own business. You also work with another company. You've got a lot of stuff on the go and you've got two boys. How's your energy? How's your time management? What's that all like for you?
Energy is great. Across the last couple of years, I've learned about energetic capacity and how you can. So the more work, the more inner work that you do on yourself in clearing out negative emotions that you may be storing in the body or limiting beliefs. So the more you do the inner work and the more that you clear that out, the more energy and capacity that you begin to hold. And it's really interesting because in the world and the people who I hang out with, it's not like, yes, we're healthy people and we eat well and we do all the right things and we sleep, but it's not like we're the most crazy healthy people ever, but we have way more energy than most people. And it's like, how? We always get asked, especially with the who I work with at EAWTC, how do you guys have so much more energy? You're always just, it's like you're on the bubble juice. And we are, and it's a lifestyle that we've chosen to live. And so, but, and I've learned that, you know, over the years of being able, like just clearing it out, like so many people have suppressed emotions stuck in their body and it causes disease, like it's causing disease in the body and your body is giving you signs and symptoms. And we're taught in society just to ignore it, push it down, suppress it. Let's not talk about it. You know, anger is bad. Rage is bad. Don't talk about your problems. The world that I live in now, all of that is expressed. All of it is open. Get it out. Like verbalize it, physically get it out of your body. And so the learning journey over the last couple of years in knowing that there's a different way to do life, I've been programmed a certain way and there's a different way to do it. My energy is just increasing capacity. It's really, really exciting. And then time management, I pride myself. I honestly believe the freedom that people seek is through scheduling. The freedom that people seek is through discipline and scheduling. And I have this like argument, not really argument, with a lot of times with my clients, right? Because a lot of people come into, they want to be a coach. So they come into our world because they want to be a coach and they're looking for this like laptop lifestyle and the freedom of not having a job, being able to work, you know, the hours that they want, help people and make money, right? That's the common thing. You probably are like, yep, that's what they're here for. And I, whenever I'm working with people, it's like we're getting the business and the foundations off the ground. It's like the first thing that I teach people is how to use a calendar, how to use your Google Calendar and schedule everything. And I have color codes for everything. So this is when I'm doing this. This is when I'm doing this. And I am the queen, I proudly say, of scheduling and having a calendar. And I use my calendar as a to-do list. So I don't, in my calendar, if you go and look at it, it'll say, you know, do automations for this, do slides for this, go in, update this. And I use my calendar like a to-do list. And when I learned that strategy, that's now I have so much freedom and flexibility in my time that I do work from home. My mum's here at the moment. I'm caring for her. I've got the flexibility to be at home. And so it's like, what's it called when it's like the opposite thing gets you the result? The scheduling, the discipline gets you the freedom and the time freedom that you're looking for.
Yeah, kind of a little bit paradoxical.
Yes, almost. Totally, yeah. Totally. Yeah. So that's my secret. Ta-da.
Well, it is clearly working, Katie. You are a bundle of energy. My goodness. Well done you. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. There's a few things I want to dig into. One, sure. The first thing I really, really liked was the admission that you have a healthy lifestyle, but you're not the healthiest person in the world. Because that's one thing. I reckon I'm there as well, right? Yeah. So I'm going to list off some things that I definitely do, and I'd be curious to know if you do these things.
Yeah, sure.
I drink, you know, 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day. I drink that American style, you know, liquid dirt coffee. That's so it's really like long cups of wheat. Exactly. Right. So I make a pot in the morning and I reckon it's about the strength of a double espresso, the whole pot.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like, you know, I just like refilling something and like having a big mug, but I don't want a bunch of milk. So I just have like a few pots of very weak, 2 cups of really weak black coffee.
Yeah, great. I'm black coffee too. So we have that in common.
Amazing. I certainly drink alcohol, you know, but no means to excess. But, you know, I clock off from here and then go straight into 3 hours of parenting. And so probably like 3-4 nights a week, there's beer and wine going into my body in the evening. So you and alcohol, Do you drink alcohol?
Okay. No, I used to, but the more I've just gone off it, like it's the people I hang around.
Yeah,
it's not as if like you can't drink out, it's just not something that we do too much, but like sure. I'll have a glass of white wine on maybe a Friday afternoon or a Saturday, and it's funny, if you're listening to this and you're about to judge me, I have a shandy wine. Half white wine, half, and I call it my mid-strength wine. And I cottoned onto it from a girlfriend ages ago who used to do it. And I was like, oh, that would be disgusting. And then I paid her out for putting water in her wine. And now it's exactly what I do. So I have it kind of like your coffee. I have it really weak. But I love it because I put the bubbly water in it and then I just have like maybe one a week. So, yeah.
I love it. I water down red wine when I drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Australian, not that this is a wine podcast, but Australian red wine, a lot of it is very heavy. And you feel like, you know, there's a reason why all of our dads have got like red veins in their noses, you know, from this smashing 14% Shirazes, that sort of thing after golf. So, okay, amazing. And then, actually, I'm having a lot of non-alcoholic beers these days. I think non-alcoholic is a really, really cool thing. They haven't done it very well for wines just yet, though. Yep. I don't think the non-alc wines are great, the non-alc beers. And then I lift weights about 3-4 times a week and I just walk every day.
Yeah.
I saw that you're into your yoga. I saw that you're into can you explain to me what tapping is? Because I hear about tapping all the time. What is tapping?
No, I'm not into that. Sorry, maybe some old information there. So the yoga, I just wanted to touch on the yoga though, because a lot of what I do is just at home on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I find that people find that a bit of a surprise because I've been to a yoga class once, but I just wake up in the morning and I come downstairs and I've got the yoga on my iPad and I follow a lady who does these beautiful 15-minute, 20-minute yogas and they're just beautiful to wake up to. And so, yeah, when we're talking about the exercise, it's not like full on. However, I have recently, just this year, invested. So post two kids had, so two times had cesarean, and so it takes a toll on the body as a woman, and I, you know, used as an excuse to not get back into exercise, and this year was like, okay, I'm finally going to get back into it. And I actually hired a PT for the first time in my life, and the main reason I did it was it's funny, people say how you do one thing is how you do everything, and I'm so disciplined in my business, but I'm so not disciplined with my exercise. So I hired the PT for the discipline of the time set. You are seeing me at 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, and it's predominantly weights. So I'm doing weight training, not the not so much cardio. I really don't like that sort of stuff. So tapping is an interesting one. I used to do it and that was just something that I found on YouTube. However, once I did NLP with Elizabeth Ann Walker, I took on her philosophy that you're pretty much just anchoring the bad feeling into you. So it's something that I ended up ditching.
Controversial opinions here from Katie Hoken. You heard it first and Coaches to the Moon.
Bring it in.
I don't even know what tapping really is, so that's all good. But I know what anchoring is. I'm famously a personal development rejecter in the fact that I just never do any of it. I feel like I did a bunch when I was like living with my wife. We were then girlfriend, boyfriend, or, you know, engaged, and we lived by the beach, didn't have kids, didn't have much of a business. So I had heaps of time to do all that stuff. And the more I did, the less my life progressed, I felt, the less results I got in any area of my life. But
okay. That's interesting, complete opposite. Right?
I know, right? Whereas these days I feel like my personal development comes from having kids, running a business. You know, I'm pretty happy. I just don't do any morning routine stuff. I don't do any journaling, any meditation. I'm not against it at all. I just don't do any of it. And so I'm curious to see what happens if I did. But I'm happy.
It's all relative to where you are at in your time. Like, there was one point in my life where I was spending an hour, you know, on my morning routine. Now, do I need to do that now? Absolutely not. Do I believe that that period of my life benefited me for now? Yeah, for sure. Like everything that you've done leads you to now. So, of course, I'm going to credit, you know, taking that hour every single morning. But when your kids are up in the morning and you've only got like a small window, then I do my 15 minutes of yoga and then I get on with it. Yeah.
Well, that I agree with. I never regret a single second of anything I've done because it all led me to where I'm at. So I think it was all good. And all the personal development, whether it was instantaneously successful or not, has led me down a path of being ultimately quite happy.
Maybe you're just, it's the law of gestation, right? So maybe you're just getting all the effects of the personal development now.
Potentially. You know what it definitely did? It surrounded me, much like yourself, with a circle of people who are very like-minded, ambitious, got growth orientated, that sort of thing.
It's the biggest thing. Like, you know when people always ask that question, if you could go back and tell yourself, like, so I started my first business in 2017. And there's always that question, if you could go back to the first year, what would you tell your younger self? It'd be get around the right people. Like now that I'm around the right people, it's just skyrocketed. And I heard it, and I heard the mentors say it, and I heard the people who were already successful saying it, but I didn't really take it on board. And I've really learned the lesson now to listen to people who have what you want. Like it does my head in when people are taking advice from people. And I'm like, why are you listening to them? Like, listen to people who have the life that you want. Like, that's how I found Liz, because I saw her on social media and I was like, you are phenomenal. Like, you are a powerhouse of a woman. I want what you've got. And so I got into her circle and I got into her awareness. And so, the power of the right people around you is something that I definitely think, like, sure, learn the strategies, learn the art, learn the science, learn business, learn marketing. Like, you can do all of that for sure. I'm all for education and self-development, but it's the people who make a massive difference, I feel.
100% agree. And there's one gentleman from my personal development days who was the whole, my relationship with him was the whole catalyst for where I am now. I would not be on the path I'm on now without him. So
I have the same story. It's like particular people. And I used to make that think, do you know what? I wonder if you had this. I used to make that think that meant I couldn't. So hold on, I'm jumping around here. I feel like there's a bit of a program that you have to be able to do it by yourself. There's a bit of a program that if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to be in business, that you have to figure it out by yourself. I now know that is so far from the truth. So far from the truth. And it's actually about collaboration and communication and partnership and getting people who are above you to bring you up. Like people who are above you, they bring you up. They put out their hand and they say, here, I'll help you. And it's the people who are going nowhere that are the ones that are hanging shit on you, right? And so it's like knowing that those people are always there. And I feel like I made that in the beginning, I made it mean that I couldn't, I didn't do it by myself because he's the one that got me the opportunity, or I didn't actually do this by myself. It's actually Liz, And then someone said to me, but everyone helps everyone. Like even Oprah got an in through someone that she knew. And it was just like, I got to reprogram that. So if you listen to this right now, thinking that you have to do it all by yourself, I really want to encourage you that you do not, because we have the same story here, Alex. It was like pivotal people who said, here, let's do this.
I love that. And you said to me just before we started recording that your big aha moment came when you first started working with, it's Elizabeth Ann Walker, correct?
Yes.
And so she's one of Australia's leading NLP trainers.
Yes.
And NLP being famously a very, how do we, I've done NLP, I've done masters a few years back. How do you explain NLP for someone who's not, doesn't really know what it is? Give me the fourth grade reading level version of what it is.
Well, the NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, and I never explain it from that. So if people ask me, how do I explain it? It's just the story of what's happened for me. It's learning to master the communication with yourself and others. And so it's a game-changing thing in terms of mindset and learning to communicate. And there's been so many examples in my life where I've managed to get exactly what I want through the art of communication. And I guess where Liz is different compared to what other people are doing is it's an integrative approach. So there's lots of things that we do above and beyond NLP that make it a really full-on training on all levels. So that's when, at the start when I was talking about suppressed emotion, limiting beliefs, all of that getting stored in the body. So, you can learn the NLP tools. You can learn the tools. You can learn the strategies. You can learn all the different techniques that you can then apply on yourself, apply on a client, apply to anyone who's in your surroundings. But it's like, how do you integrate it? How do you actually integrate that on a physical level? So that's the difference there.
Interesting. I suppose that'd be something that would take much longer than a half hour podcast to learn.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, 7 days and we can get you there.
Wait, so I won't dive down that rabbit hole just yet. Suppressed emotions. I'll give you my own NLP experience, right? Because I'm not anti-personal development at all. And I think NLP was fantastic. I went there because I was health coaching at the time. And I went to do it. I did my NLP with Luke Hawkins, who is a guy down here in Sydney.
Yes.
He's, you know Luke? You know of Luke? Yeah. Yep. He's a powerful, powerful young man.
Yeah.
So basically, I went in there and I was like, I'll get some of these techniques and I'll use them on my clients to help them have bigger breakthroughs, better results, that sort of thing. And I went in, walls up, as I do, you know, classic me.
We have a lot of people like that who walk in day one like this in there. Yeah.
100%, 100%. So we got about, you know, 2-3 days in, we started doing timeline therapy. And we had this bit where the girl who I was partnered with, Annalise, still remember her to this day because of how important this moment was. She started talking to me, asking the questions about, go back to a time when something's happened. And I instantly went back to this, like, getting told off by my parents when I was like 7 because I never applied myself in school because, and it's the story I always end up telling on podcasts is that I'm really like intellectually smart, but I hated school. So I found it really easy and I was always in trouble for not trying harder.
Yeah.
And so, and then that started coming up and then she's like, and what would you, I can't remember what the question was, but I remember that I said like, oh, but I always try my best and then just fucking burst out crying in this room full of people like I never have before from like 3 questions she asked me. I was like, whoa, holy mackerel. And that whole thing opened me up to then the wall coming down, realizing exactly why I kept screwing up in business, exactly why I kept getting to a certain stage in whether it was in my hospitality career or in my side businesses. Where I'd be doing okay and then ruin it. And
it's the same pattern, right?
So interesting. And then
it's so interesting. And that's why I became obsessed because stories like what you're saying. So hundreds of people have been through our training room. And so stories like that is just, we hear them all the time. So I love that.
Integrating with the physical body is an interesting one because I'd love to ask another question of you regarding NLP. Right. So when I went back and did masters, super duper interesting, like absolutely bonkers to watch was I was doing a full day breakthrough on like the last day of NLP masters with this girl called Renee, who had a very similar energy to you, high energy, very happy, lit up the room and just really, really fun to talk to. As we dug into this breakthrough, turned out she had really, really messed up childhood. Horrible stuff you don't want to talk about, but you can imagine what I'm alluding to. Yeah. And the more I asked her questions, she physically started shrinking in her chair, sitting back, you know, knees curled up, and like she looked gray and her hair looked greasy and she looked like she hadn't washed in a week. And like I just saw her physically change before my eyes as she got so uncomfortable and addressed these feelings and these memories she hadn't had in 20 years.
Yeah.
When we flipped it, Katie Hogan, and we got to the end of the day and she's like talking about, you know, her future moving forward, it was like she'd just come out of a salon and we hadn't left the room.
It's cool.
Like,
hey.
Completely different person. What is going on with that? How on earth does our mind physically change the way we look depending on what sort of feelings we're addressing?
It's all connected. You know what we call it? We call NLP spiritual Botox. We call our 7-day training. People come in and walk out, they look completely different. And it's the neurology. So people, this is what's so interesting. So another controversy opinion is like people are stuck in this way of thinking that change takes a really long time. You wouldn't know. I've had this trauma for 20 years. Like, you know, I am so conditioned to people. I've heard stuff that most people wouldn't even be able to stomach. The things that I've heard about what people have had done to them is insane. They've done awful things. They've had awful things done to them. Childhood trauma, sexual trauma, relationship trauma, DV, all the way up to like, so we don't scale in the room. There's no level of trauma. If you've had sexual trauma or your mum called you a bitch, it's still trauma, right? It's still trauma, and it still had a thing happen with you, which then you go bang, and then there's a physical reaction that happens in the body, and then you've held on to that, like what you've said, from 7 years old, and then the pattern keeps repeating itself and you're wondering, why am I so stuck, and this same pattern keeps coming up. And so there's so much to be said about, was literally, so perfect example, this morning we're on a call with Liz, and we're talking about the language of power, the power of language and how you can shift through problems. And a lady in the comments said, I've been seeing a psych for 32 years and I've changed everything about my life in 7 days. And so it's this flipping the script. What we're here to do is flip the script on change can be quick. It doesn't have to be seeing a therapist for 30 years. It can come through the power of the language that you're using through your mind. And it's all connected, right? Mind, body, soul, mind, body, spirit, however you want to call it, source, whatever. You've got your mind, you've got your body, it's all connected. And if you know the work of Joe Dispenza, he talks about the neurons that wire together, fire together, wire together. And that action can actually happen really, really quick. So as soon as we have the experience to give ourselves the new feeling emotion, then it's like an instant physiology change, which is what you saw in your person. And so, do I know scientifically how it all works? No, you're probably better off getting Liz on this podcast and asking her. She's the leader. But I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of people have the mental thing go on. It's like a glitch. They go, yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, whew, they're like a new person. And we see so many people like come off medication, come off their ADHD medication, come off depression, come off all the different things. We've had people heal. It's just, the work is truly life-changing. It's beautiful to watch.
So good. So good. What it's a amazing, fulfilling thing to do with your days. And I know that that's not just, you're the head coach over at EAWTC.
So yeah, I started off just doing a bit of contract work. So what's interesting is, so Liz had $1 million business, and I went onto her website and I was like, holy shit, this is awful. This is awful. And then that changed the program of, you need to have pretty marketing stuff. It's like, but it's her passion for love, and that's what got her to $1 million. And so I was like, hey, hi, trying to get her attention, like sending her messages, like just loving on her content, trying to get her attention. And you know, we're talking about getting around the right people. So she said, she didn't say no, but she didn't say yes for like 6 months. I sent her a message here or there, you know, tried to just start a conversation with her.
What was the outcome you wanted? Do you want to redo her website or just talk to her?
Yeah, so I didn't realize that. No, so this is where it comes back to, I just wanted to be, who is this woman? Who is this woman? And I want to, how do I get in her circle, right? How do I want $1 million business. So go hang out with $1 million business owners. How do you do that? How do you actually do that? And so I started messaging her and just thought, I really like your stuff. And it was kind of going nowhere, right? And then so I went in with a pitch, just a really direct pitch. I was like, hey, I've noticed you. Your website's really bad. I'm really great at building ecosystems online. Can we do something here? And I finally got her attention. So I started off just doing a little bit of contract work, and then fell pregnant with my second boy. So I pulled back a bit and then just doing little things here and there. Then I did the prac. So I went and did the prac myself, and I was like, holy shit, this stuff is amazing. Like I'm all on. I'm on the bubble juice. I'm on the bandwagon. Let's go. Like I'm all in on her mission. Her mission is huge and it's beautiful. And then I ended up joining the team. So I am now the marketing director at EAWTC. So that's what I primarily do. And I'm also one of the head coaches there. So every time we do a training, I'm there at the trainings, facilitating, assisting, doing all of that sort of stuff. So that's how that kind of happened.
Got it. That makes sense. And to bring it to what we, you know, intended to talk about today.
Yes. Mindset marketing.
Mindset and marketing. You know, we've covered a lot of mindset stuff, which is fascinating. Like we said at the beginning of this show, we're not going to really try and do a few questions. We're going to go where it goes.
I did do that. I just said to you at the start, you're like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I'm an open book. It can go any which way. I don't mind.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. And I love where it goes. You obviously know your stuff. in that area, which is amazing. So mindset and marketing. I really, really enjoy the fact that you noticed that this lady, Liz, had a million-dollar business with a shocking website, because that's a really, really interesting thing, isn't it? That when people start marketing, they have all these, like you said, programs around what they believe they need to have to create successful marketing. Yeah,
sure. Yep.
Tens of thousands of followers, perfect, perfect branding, expensive WordPress developed site, like all this stuff, massive multi-page funnels, all that sort of thing. I don't subscribe to all that. We actually try and do stuff really, really simply for our clients.
Yeah, that's great.
In terms of lead gen. And once we prove something works in a simple way, then we'll build upon it. You know, then we'll add in funnels, we'll add in extra branding. I'm like,
it's validate before you create, right?
Validate before you create is so good. I love that. I'm actually having my website professionally built for the first time, and I've been in business for 8 years now. I've done everything myself up until now. I'm having a branding girl do it. I'm so excited.
Yeah. How good is it when you finally get to the level where you can, like, someone else can do this? This is so amazing.
That's amazing. So you said that you had an aha moment that mindset and marketing could actually be, you know, serendipitous with each other. They could synchronize. Talk to us about that moment.
Yeah. So I was a hotel marketing consultant. So I worked in hotels. The growl in my belly was too loud. I want to do my own thing. So I quit hotels. 2 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant with my first child. I was like, cool.
Good timing.
Thanks. And I will never forget. I went back into a after work party. And so everyone knew that I was pregnant. And I remember my boss at the time, he had a drink in his hand. He's a, you know, big dude. And he kind of jokes at me and he goes, bet you wish you didn't quit now so you could have got maternity leave. And I thought,
dick move.
Wow. And it was like the you moment of like, but so I glitched for a second and I thought, oh shit, maybe I have done the wrong thing here. Like, actually, what am I doing? I've just left. I don't have any savings. I don't even really have a business. So for me, I couldn't do the whole side hustle thing. It just didn't work for me. And at the time, you know, people would be like, you know, well, it just means you're not passionate enough about it. And I soon learned that, no, it's just not for me. I just couldn't do the side hustle thing. Like, I worked, and when I worked, I'm committed to my job. And doing that on the side, it didn't work for me. So I had to, I'm burn the boats kind of lady, not with the relationships, but I set a date, 30th June, I'm done. And so that's what I need to kick me into gear. So I was doing the hotel marketing thing and that was really good. So I was marketing. I know everything about everything in that field. Bit of a unicorn in terms of, I know a little bit about everything, but I'm not really a specialist in a certain area. So websites, SEO, Facebook ads, Google ads, like I had to learn it all in my role. And so then I ended up doing marketing for hotels externally. And it was so crazy because I was getting paid like 3 times the amount of my actual role. And I was working from home. I was pregnant. I could put my feet up. So life worked out really, really brilliantly. And I'm so glad that I made the decision to cut it and not listen to him. I was like, oh, should I go back to get maternity leave? Right. I made triple that amount. So it was all marketing and it was really good. And I was really getting to a point of, I had about 10 clients. I had 3 contractor girls working with me and I was providing marketing services to hotels. I started landing speaking gigs. This is where I learned the power of personal branding, right? Personal branding. I was the hotel marketing chick that wore pink and did videos on LinkedIn. People would come up to me at events and be like, oh, you that chick that does those videos? I'd be like, yes. And I learned the power of personal branding in that phase of my life. And then the big C hit. Right. And I lost every single client. So hotels got hit really hard.
Oh, they all closed down. Yeah.
Yeah. Really hard. So what's the first thing they pull? They pull their marketing budget. Yeah. So I went from hero to zero very, very quickly. Within 2 weeks, I lost all my clients.
Whoa.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Nightmare.
2 weeks, I went from, you know, really great retainers, money coming in, loving it to pretty much, holy, what now? So then I lived off the government, thank you, for those payments. And it was that moment in time where I So do a visualization practice where you're visualizing yourself in 5 to 10 years' time. Who are you? Where are you? What are you wearing? How do you stand? How do you look? What's going on? How do you make income? And whenever I kept future pacing myself, it was never hotel marketing. But in reality, I was like, no, I've got to make this work. I've got to get through this. You know, this thing will only be around for 6 weeks. It's just a little virus. It's just a little bug.
Just flatten the curve. It's all we need to do.
Yeah, I'll be back. Just hold on. And so this is where this inner conflict become what was happening in reality versus what my mind or my higher self or whatever you want to call it, like it's up to you, whatever you want to call it, was saying, no, this is not what you're doing. When you're future pacing, this is not what you're doing. But in my real life, I was like, no, but I'm good at this. I can make money at this. Like I get opportunities in this world. And that's where I became very confused about, holy shit, how do I – I'm a marketer. Like I work with hotels. Now this future version of me is telling me I'm a coach. How?
Mm.
How the flip do I do that? So I enrolled in a life coaching course at the time while I was still living off the government. And then I ended up helping hotels for free. So it was just like, I was doing webinars and I was doing little courses and I launched like a social media course and it failed. I launched like a Facebook ad course and it failed. Like everything was just failing. Nothing was working. No one was buying my stuff. It was just like, ah. So that's what happened. And then I had a little period. Then I met Liz and then I did NLP. And then I actually end up surveying my audience. And I was like, what do you want? What are your fears? What are your frustrations? What are your dreams and what do you want? They're my four key questions in working with people. I put it into a survey and I sent it out. And I had lots of women reply. And it blew my mind. I still remember it was a Tuesday night. It was about 9:30. And I thought, shit, I haven't checked the survey results. I better go have a look. And I got the survey results. And I was actually sad. I was so sad to read how many women in particular are not where they want to be due to fear of what other people will think of them, lack of self-belief, fear of showing up, not experienced enough, not knowledgeable enough, scared what their family and friends might think, thinking they have to do more. Oh, I'll do it next year when I've done X, Y, Z. And I saw so many limiting beliefs in the answers. So the fears and the frustrations versus the dreams and the wants, there was complete misalignment. There was complete and it was in that moment that I went, holy shit, it's actually mindset. It's actually the mindset that matters for most people when it comes to business because it's the mindset that's stopping them from showing up, stopping them from thinking that they're not good enough. Like, you know, the list goes on. And so that's where I found this like blend of like, I can help people with their mindset because I've learned the NLP, which is the mind. I'm really freaking good at what I do in the marketing world. And I know business, I know foundations. I've done years and years of running multiple different businesses, roofing businesses, like you name it. Let's smoosh them together. And it finally made sense. So sorry, that was a long story. And that's how I got there.
Perfect. I love it. I love the idea that people are not marketing because their mindset's not there to show up and be confident to put themselves out there. And yeah. They've got that imposter syndrome. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
That sort of thing. Really interesting way of looking at it. I see that with clients now. You know, we've kind of got to force some people to put out more content, get out there more. And just when they start advertising, you know, outside of the people who follow you, you start advertising to the great unwashed public and you start getting crazies in your inbox calling you a scammer and telling you to fuck off and using worse language than that. It's just something that starts to bounce off you and you start to actually think, why is that person, you know, I feel sorry for a person for having such a bad day. They've got to take it out on a random on the internet.
I love that. So, I always make it about them. I'm always like, oh, I feel really sorry for you.
Yeah.
Like I'm sending you big love. Like you're obviously having a hard day. I love that.
I know a sales guy and he used to teach sales and he's like, if someone would give me attitude on the phone, I'd just be like, dude, why are you so down? What's up?
What's going on, man?
And then, you know, because me calling you isn't making you this angry because I call a lot of people.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a personal question about the time when you had a thriving business and you were paying contractors, that sort of thing. So you're supporting more than yourself. and you've got a kid and a half at this point. One kid and then pregnant with a kid. Yeah. And then suddenly, a few weeks later, due to, you know, world events, you're living off of Centrelink checks. Like, that's probably something that, you know, massively, massively scares me as a possibility should, you know, something ever happen like that. How did you feel at that time as a business owner, as a mum, as, you know, as a brand, you know, how did you feel with yourself? And then how did you get through that time mentally?
Yeah. So in the moment, so I've always been interested in personal development stuff. Like, I've always been interested in bettering myself, but a lot of it's, we call it shelf help. So reading a book, right? Shelf help, meditation, all of that. So prior to this, hadn't met Liz yet, hadn't done NLP. So in the moment, I mean, I just was thankful that we got those payments and that I was eligible to get them. And I actually had a fair bit of savings. I had a fair bit of savings in my business at the time, which was really, really great. So that supported me financially for a little bit. But then when it just kept going, right? So I thought, oh, yeah, 6 weeks. And then it was like a month. And then it was like 2 months. And then it was like 3 months. And then it was like 4 months. And then I do remember at one point I pulled over on the side of the road and I was all over the place and my eyes were fluttering and my heart was like going 100 miles an hour. And I pulled over on the side of the road. I was like, fuck, I can't drive. Like, what is going on here? And I had like, I wouldn't say a panic attack, but it was just a real flush in the moment. I thought, oh, wow. And I was driving again with my partner and I pulled over on the side of the road again. And I was like, babe, it's happening again. And I started like bawling my eyes out. And, you know, at the time I was like, what's wrong with me? But now that I have now, you know, when you turn around and then the dots make sense. Yeah, I was struggling and it was just like far out. I just lost everything that I had put my heart and soul into. So to be honest with you, in the moment, I didn't really see the problem. I thought I was fine. And I got busy with doing webinars and just doing this and doing that and working on some projects of my own in the background. Like, oh, I'm going to update my website. I'm going to use this time to do this because the money wasn't a stress. I think that's the key thing here. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay rent next week? The money wasn't too much of a stress. So I'm thankful that I was doing so well that I had that there and the government payments that were coming in. But then once I got through that period and then I looked back on it, I was like, oh, wow, I was having moments. I was having little panic attacks. I was having all of these things and, you know, my mind going 100 miles an hour. So, yeah, it was real. It happened in the moment. And what it taught me, two things, niching. I mean, how often does something like that happen? But I did start to reconsider having all my eggs in one basket. So I was hotel marketing just for hotels and specifically kind of changed. So it was like a niche within a niche within a niche, right? So it was very niche. Like, how many people have you known? But that's why I did so well, because people were like, yes, you know the lingo, you know our goals. Like, if you try to explain to a normal agency how a hotel works, there's a lot of lingo and all of that sort of stuff. So I feel like I stood out straight away because I was niched within a niche within a niche. Now, did that come back to kick me in the ass? Maybe, because I was so niche. Mm-hmm. However, it was a big world event. So I did have that learning on having all my eggs in one basket, but then also the learning of, let's say it happened all over again right now. I know now that I've been through it and it always works out, literally. Yeah. Always works out. I've never not had, so since 2017, since deciding to do my own thing, I've never not made it work. So it's like, come on, brain, how many years of evidence do you need to finally believe it? So, yeah, the big learning there.
That's so great, honestly, because so many people go through those moments, whether it's because you're at the beginning of a business and you are struggling for the cash flow or, you know, you think you've left your job too early, which I definitely did like four times, left jobs too early to be, you know, a burn the boats and just business guy. Yeah. And then nowadays, you know, when I've got a team, I've got like, you know, lots and lots of thousands of dollars worth of staff bills every couple of weeks. And, you know, that is pretty scary as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a couple of unpaid invoices and we're like, you know, things feel very, very sticky, you know, like that. Yeah. And so they come up, but I think your capacity for, you know, capacity for stress grows the more you face it. Your capacity for less than perfect situations grows. And yeah, you're still here. You are thriving, healthy, happy, and just doing your thing. It does all work out, I believe. And I think that, you know, if I was to come from the outside looking in, your mindset, massive part of it. And then also, while you were niche in your marketing, marketing is a very diverse skill, which you can help a lot of people with that as well. So I think marketing and sales are just like, if you can do those two things, then you're pretty much going to be fine always.
You can have a shit product as long as you know sales. Like, have you read the Robert Kiyosaki book? He's like, this is the worst money book ever, but I know how to sell.
Yes.
It's just like, and that's the other thing as well, is I feel like so many people, and you would be in the same boat, which, like, you know, where it's the discipline to what I've self-taught myself. Like, I've invested in business courses. I've invested in an entrepreneur thing. I've invested in a life coach. I invested in NLP. I did speaker training. I've done quantum healing. I do online courses. I learned how to do Google ads. I learned how to do Facebook ads. I learned how to build websites. Like, and it's all self-taught. I'm currently self-teaching how the frick to use AI to generate images. Like, you know, it's just that constant curiosity of how can I keep developing my skill. And it's like that quote of like, become a master of something, because most people can't be bothered. And it's like, if you really want something, you have to learn how to, like, how did I get the role with EAWTC? How am I now teaching other coaches? It's the same with you. It's because we have the discipline to keep evolving ourselves.
Well, discipline is a funny word to use for me, but I'll take it. I will take it. And I'm very excited.
You clearly are. You wouldn't have your business if you weren't.
That's probably true. I'm very, very, I feel like I'm more disciplined with my health and fitness than I am with my business. But I suppose results speak, and, you know, I do have.
Yes. maybe you just don't label it as discipline.
Yeah. Well, I certainly don't, you know, grind and hustle. I work when I need, yeah. But
yeah, also, same. Oh no, I'm anti-grinding hustle culture. No, I know what you mean. Okay, yeah. So rephrasing it, it's just like a constant desire to keep going, right? Keep doing the thing.
Well, some days I wish I was happy with, wish I was happy with what I had, because it seemed all so simple. But it's, I'm very, very blessed. So, Katie, please, please, please plug us on your Evolve platform, which is launching 2 days ago by the time this podcast comes out, because I wanted to talk to you earlier on. But let's get to it. Evolve, the platform. What is it?
No, Evolve.
What's Evolve a platform? What does it even mean?
A platform. So it's an online platform for all things personal development, your favorite topic. I love it. You'll be on there. You can be my first subscriber. So an online platform for personal development, business, mindset, spirituality. So very, very broad pillars. When I started working with EAWTC, especially Liz, she is a gifted human. If you get to know her, she's very, very gifted in what she does. And she runs in-person events. And I saw a gap in the market. I was like, how do we get you online? Like, we need people worldwide to be able to be influenced, to be able to learn from Liz. So that's where it first started. Like, how do we take EAWTC and Elizabeth Ann Walker specifically online? Because she's the star of the show, right? Like, she is a visionary. She is phenomenal at what she does, and her mission is massive. So how do we take that? Because they're an event business. They're in the business of doing events, and how do we do it online? So I had this idea of an online platform, and it just stayed like that. And then I didn't really do anything about it. And I didn't have the time dedicated towards doing anything about it. And then it's kind of grown into, wait up, how do we have an online platform for Liz, but also for everyone who is in the team? Because we have a phenomenal team as well. Like, we've got a women's pillar, we've got a men's pillar, we've got like a corporate pillar, we've got a speaker pillar. And there's people at the heads of each of these pillars that are phenomenal at what they do. So how can we also highlight them, and how can people learn from them? And how do I just create this big ass ecosystem of cool stuff where people can become self-aware? And at the heart of what it is, and I know sometimes it sounds really lame, but how can we just help people be happier?
Great.
Like, do feel better in themselves. And whether I'm making a big ass assumption, you can criticize me for that, but I just feel like there's so many unhappy people in the world who think that this is it, and they're just, they're at effect. This is it. I don't have a choice. And as you would know, like, you get to choose. There's mindset things that you can do, and also, like, spirituality. How do people learn about that? And business. How do people learn about marketing? If you're a coach, how do you start a coaching program? Like, how do you learn the fundamentals of business? So there's a lot of big buckets. And I thought, do you know what this is? It's just continuously evolving yourself. And so, voila.
Evolve.
We have evolved. So evolve yourself. And we're getting started. So it's a three-phase thing. So here, share a bit of marketing now, how we can tie it all back in.
Please.
I believe in the philosophy of what we talked about before, validate before you create. So every course I've ever sold, I've sold it as a concept. So I've had two signature courses, both multi six figures, that are sold based on a concept. And people go, what? You go, yeah, you sell something based on a concept, and then you get the income in and you go, shit, now I need to create the thing because people want it. So I was like, okay, how do I take my own principles and create this on Evolve? And I was like, well, I can't really have nothing on the platform for people to consume because that would be weird. So we're getting started with a couple of things. So there's some free challenges, there's some masterclasses, there's a couple of mini courses, there's some signature courses and some training. So if you want to be like hypno training or breathwork training or vibrational medicine training. So we're getting started with that. And the first phase will be, do people want this? Like, yes, of course I want it to be a raging success. And also I'm a marketer and a business person. So I know I need to see if the people want this. Is the messaging right? Is the marketing right? Are we actually giving the people what they want? So we've got the validation phase coming up, and then we have to hit some revenue targets. So the first bit is just getting people subscribed. The second bit will be getting people signed up to the paid courses. And then if we hit both of those two targets, only then will we invest to scale.
I love that concept. Lean and mean to start off with.
Yeah.
Proving.
I'm doing everything myself. The graphics are hideous. No, they're all right.
Oh, your graphics are great. I've been looking at your stuff. You know what you're doing. Yeah. You know what you're doing.
So, yeah, I thought I'd bring in the platform and some marketing learning for your
Thank
audience.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It sounds phenomenal. And, so you said it launches Friday, which is the 1st of September, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. So first off, it's just a soft launch. Yeah. We have our existing community is actually quite huge.
Yeah.
And so what Liz has built is a phenomenal community. And so it's kind of like a launch to them first, see how that goes. And then we'll slowly start to build up the socials and start to integrate, you know, all the things.
I love it. That sounds so good. I love the concept of a one-stop shop as well, especially when you've built an audience. That stuff is tough to sell. Like the online course kind of, you know, the gurus, just make an online course and you'll be fine. You know, I think make an audience and then have them really, really love you and then build an online course.
Yes.
And you'll be fine. I think that makes much more sense rather than just being, you know, Joe personal trainer who suddenly releases his revolutionary fitness program to an audience of 11 people.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. It's tricky. We talk about that all the time. The false expectations that marketers give to coaches as well.
Oh, mate, please cover that because it actually is so annoying. It's like, have you, the Facebook ads at the moment, like make $1 million in 2.6 seconds and like have a seven figure course launch. And it's actually disheartening to see it so much. And yes, of course, I know there are the few unicorns that pull it off. And it's just that, it's just it's an interesting world that we live in that everyone just wants the shortcut. And that's what people are marketing to. And then they're getting suckered in and then.
Yeah. Yeah. We try and be very realistic with expectations at our agency. You know, we try and get some fast wins in for sure. But then, you know, let's look at this as a long-term game and not the next threads, you know.
I do exactly the same, and it's really great to hear that you do that because it's just this messaging of with my signature course, it's integrated business, and it's about, and I tell people, I said, you know, You may not be doing this right now. You may not be actually implementing like how to set up a funnel, right? Because you're not at that stage in your business. But I promise you in 3 years' time, if you're still in business, you'll be remembering me. And it's like the foundations of it, not just like do this in 6 months and have $1 million business. It's not my style at all.
I love that. I love that, Katie. You're a very authentic, very open person. Like you said, we've gone for an hour already. I don't know if you noticed that.
No. How long are they meant to go for?
Oh, as long as we like. But usually do about, you know, on average, we do 37 minutes if we look at them. But okay.
That's what happens when you get a chatty person on your podcast. I could talk all day.
100%.
My partner loves me. I'm just like, blah, 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 blah.
Chatty's good. Chatty's what we need. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be very good having someone, you know, with the one-word answers on a podcast. Monosyllabic responses are always a little bit tough as an interviewer, but you've made my job very easy today.
It's been a really great chat.
Oh, so good, so good. Katie Hogan, what an absolute pleasure. I really, really mean that. And that's been so much fun. Thank you for your energy, your honesty, and your sharing both tangible and intangible advice. Yeah. Really, really cool stuff. I've enjoyed this conversation to bits, and we'll put all the links that you need to in the show notes wherever you're looking at this, if they're up, down, side to side. That's where they're going to be. So, Katie Hogan, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're amazing.
Most welcome. It's been a pleasure.
It sure has. And anyone who is watching or listening to this, we love you to bits for that. We really appreciate it. It's helping us to talk to some amazing coaches around the world and in the Gold Coast. So I'll be back next week with another 2 episodes of Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Much love and peace out. Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.